Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of Star Wars in a Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Eli. Jacob and I are technically on a break from doing our regular In a Galaxy episodes, but I had approached a friend of the show a few weeks ago about doing this idea, and we were able to throw this together this weekend. As when I'm recording this intro, we recorded this yesterday, but it was a really fun conversation that we had. As alluded to last week, I sat down with one of my biggest inspirations in the podcasting, and as much as I know it, he hates this phrase, I'm going to use it just because of ease, content creation space, Mr. Alden Diaz of Octo Radio. And he's taught me a lot about looking at Star Wars and watching Star Wars and talking about Star Wars. And we both have very strong opinions on how we think that we should talk about Star Wars. And we wanted to sit down and have an honest conversation about some things that we've seen that have bothered us in the fandom and how we approach watching Star Wars, talking about Star Wars with the most amount of respect we feel to both the material and the people who created the material. And I expressed this in the episode, but I want to make this extremely clear. If you don't agree with us, totally fine. These are just our opinions. They're nothing more than our opinions. They're nothing less than our opinions. We are going to be doing some widespread criticism. We're not going to be naming names because that's not how we do things, and that's not respectful. We're not going to be, people suck and they're doing this. Here's some stuff we've noticed about how people talk, and here's some things, here's how we do it instead. And again, I just think it's really important to emphasize that we're doing this because we want to talk about it and because we want to share our ideas with our listeners. If you don't agree, that's totally fine. You don't have to. We're not doing this to force everybody to agree with us. That A, wouldn't work, and B, is a terrible idea anyway. Everybody should be able to think the way they want to think. But if you do come away with something that we talked about, or if something did inspire you in that way, that's great. And we really appreciate that. But that is not our main goal of this episode. Our main goal is just to have this conversation. And as Alden will say in the episode, this is not a one-and-done conversation. We need to always be having these conversations to ensure that people are respected and that creators are respected. And by creators, I don't mean like podcasters and all that kind of stuff, although that's very important. I mean like the literal creators of this media, the cinematographers, the writers, the special effects people, all of those people who go into making a project worked hard on this stuff. And we have, in my opinion, a really great conversation about how we approach Star Wars media. This is a conversation that I've had many times on Twitter, and I'm probably going to have it many more times on Twitter and with my friends and with that I've made in the space and with, you know, with people like Alden. And yeah, I'm really excited for everybody to listen to this episode. Next week, we'll say this in the episode again, but I just want to say it up front. Next week, we are taking a one-week break from In a Galaxy. There's going to be no episode posted a week from Friday, which is going to be a week from today, which is going to be the 19th. The May 19th, there's going to be no In a Galaxy episode, but we will be back on the 26th, where we're going to start season 12 and a half of Star Wars In a Galaxy with Dooku shorts from Tales of the Jedi. Those are Justice, Choices, and the Sith Lord, if I'm not mistaken. I think those are the three. And we're excited to see y'all then. But in the meantime, I guess the only thing to say is may the Force be with you and enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone. And so like we said in the intro, Alden and I are here to talk about our views on the Star Wars fandom, our perspectives on how we talk about Star Wars, how we watch Star Wars, all of those kinds of ideas. And one of the first things I want to say is that not much of this talk is going to be related to the actual Star Wars pieces of media themselves. Like, I don't care if you don't like The Last Jedi, or if you don't like The Book of Boba Fett, or if you don't like Andor, or whatever it is. That's not what we're talking about. It's the way we go into watching Star Wars, the way we talk about liking or not liking Star Wars. And even though I do happen to like most of those things, if not all of those things, for me, it's not really about that. for me, it's not really about like, oh, I like this and therefore I am a better fan than you. Like, no, none of that. This is more about like, how do we have these conversations? How do we engage in a way that's not only more respectful to each other, but more respectful to the people who are creating this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting time, especially, you know, with the internet and with everything being everything moves at a breakneck pace, and the reactions are very knee-jerk a lot of the times, and the conversations can get lost, especially on platforms like Twitter and TikTok, which have very strong and deep Star Wars communities. Those platforms, it should be noted, were designed for speed. They were designed for quickness. They were designed for bites, and you can't really get nuance on there. And that causes a lot of tension, and it causes a lot of, frankly, unfairness, which we'll talk about in terms of fandom, in terms of, you know, what you want versus what you get, in terms of attaching your identity to things. And so it becomes very nuanced, and it's something that we talk about a lot off air with our friends, where it's like no one wants to tell anybody what to think, and that's not what we're doing. That's not what you want to do. It's not what I want to do. So we want to make that very clear right up top. But what it is a, hey, we're not angry all the time, and we love this thing. And if we love this thing, then we want to engage with this thing in a way that is from love, you know, that is based in love. And so how do you do that? You know, how do we approach it? Why do we feel good about Star Wars? And how do we even get over things that sometimes give us pause? And like you said, being fair to the people that are human beings trying to make it.
Yeah, like Alden said, this is not supposed to be. We are not putting this out there because we want to tell anybody what to think. That is not our goal. That has never been our goal. That is not our goal, and that will never be our goal. So if you don't agree with this, that's fine. If you agree with parts of it or don't agree with parts of it, that's also fine. We're not making this to try to tell people what to think. First of all, because that's impossible. You can't do that. And B, because even if you wanted to try, that'd be a fool's errand and a waste of everybody's time. So I think we have all of like the disclaimers and the all those kind of things out of the way. So do we want to just get into this stuff?
Yeah, let's start breaking it down. I mean, there's a lot to cover, and there's going to be a lot of topics within topics. So,
oh, yeah, there is. One of the things I realized specifically for me about Star Wars discourse is, at least online, I feel like it's very, this is something I figured out very, very recently, actually, is that as how much it builds on itself, is how much that there are new ways of saying the same four or five things constantly. And like, this stuff is extremely complicated, and I'm not trying to minimize that and say it isn't, but a lot of the complaints I've heard, at least the ones that I'm talking about, the bad faith complaints, have boiled down to the same half dozen things at the end of the day.
Yeah, and even then, if they're not like specifically storytelling things or Star Wars things or the dreaded C word content things, they're being corrupted by the same sentiments, or they're coming from the same places. That's not what I wanted, you know, is one of the big ones that's at the center of a lot of things. And when we'll talk about that, but you're right that it is sort of cyclical down to the point where Star Wars fans even realize that it's cyclical. Like, we have moments online where people will be like, oh, here we go again. Or, oh, wow, we all like this thing and we're going to be fighting again soon. And like, people realize that it's happening, and yet it doesn't actually ever change.
There is an inevitable, I know that I've talked with Alden and a lot of our friends about this, of like a, here it comes, sort of here's this new piece of Star Wars, whatever it is. And then here's everybody telling me why it's terrible, it sucks, it shouldn't be made in X way.
And you can even feel it sometimes when you're watching Star Wars. Like, if something happens that is at all big or dramatic or even maybe controversial or that feels a certain way in any way, you start bracing yourself and you're like, oh God, here we go. I'm going to have to hear about this for a week. at least.
Oh yeah, I remember specifically. This is just a little side tangent, but when I feel like I remember that way, and this was mostly drowned out by the sheer euphoria I was feeling at this episode. But when I watched the Jedi for the first time, specifically, I'm like, "All right, what are people gonna hate about Rosario? What are people gonna hate about what the way Dave's doing things? What are people like?" Like that episode specifically for me was like, yeah, here we go. But again,
yeah,
I try not to let that control it for me. And that one is a specifically bad example because that was drowned out in droves by like, we got Ahsoka Tano in live action. This character that we've known for decades now is here, and we did it. And so it's important. And this is something I struggle with quite a bit, to not let this course rule over you too much.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, I think a hard part of all of this is staying present, but also staying somewhat selfish, which Star Wars advocates against. And we all know that it's bad to be selfish, and you don't want to be, you don't want to live your life that way. But in terms of your enjoyment, you have to remember that you enjoyed it for yourself first, before you found everyone started alone. You know, you might've had your family that introduced it to you, but or your friends, but your relationship with it is your own. And later on, you started sharing that relationship through your social media presence or through your shows, through your art, through your TikToks, whatever it is. You need to always stay in touch, though, with the fact that it was for you first. And you can't allow someone else's opinion to color the way that you feel about it, or to make your opinion feel less valid, which can be a hard thing to do sometimes when it feels like, you know, one opinion is quote unquote popular, even though the online sphere is only a fraction of what the actual entire fandom, if that could ever even be quantified worldwide, is. I mean, you go to a Star Wars celebration, it's nothing like this at all.
Oh yeah. There's like, you know, there you can bring up the constant clips of the actors and creatives who have been horribly, horribly bullied online, getting standing ovations at Star Wars Celebration, and that should tell you, number one, first of all, how horrible the online fandom can be sometimes, and B, how unrepresentative of the entire fandom, however you'd quantify that, the online space is. I mean, you know, look at somebody like Ahmed Best. That guy, horrible. He drove himself almost to suicide because of the horrible fan response he got. And which is something that should never happen to anyone because of a goddamn movie. But, you know, he's had this, and I don't want to call it, because I know a lot of the media has been calling it a redemption arc. It's not a redemption arc. He had nothing to redeem.
Yeah, the world had a redemption arc.
Yeah.
The world and fans with an outward voice redeemed themselves by starting to treat him the way he deserved to be treated, like an artist, like a person trying to make things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen that, you know, that sort of side of it, that sort of darkness and that flippant way that people treat these artists and these performers. It speaks to an attitude that I think is at the center of a lot of this, which is that people treat something like Star Wars, an artistic product, they treat it as if it was a meal, and that they're at a restaurant that they deserve to be served what they ordered, which is a very, 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 very different thing. I didn't like Jar Jar Binks. I deserve a better character. I didn't like this. Yeah. I deserve a better movie. I deserve this fictional character deserves what I say they deserve. That possessiveness, which Star Wars also advocates against, is very, very, very corrupting, and it can be a big problem.
Yeah. But one exception to that, of course, is I haven't finished watching Young Jedi Adventures yet, and if Nubs gets hurt or injured in any way, he deserves better, and I'm not going to...
That's true. That's just the canon fact, yeah.
That's just the canon fact.
Who will live for 10,000 years at least.
Thousands of years. Until the end of time, Nubs will live.
Nubs is going to be... Nubs will be working at Rey's Jedi Academy. As an older
Hell
man.
Yes, he will. Hell yes, he will. But that kind of segues nicely into the first kind of like thing I wanted to talk about, the first major idea I want to talk about, which is like how we go into watching Star Wars. How do we sit down when something new comes out? You know, for me, it's like a wake up in the morning, like a, okay, here we go. What's the Bad Batch got for me today? What's the Mandalorian got for me today? Whatever it is. And I found that, like, there are these three approaches. There are two that are kind of obvious, but there's one. The first one is very obvious, which is the people who go in wanting to hate. People who go in wanting to criticize, wanting to like, go in there and nitpick and take everything for how bad it is or how bad they think it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into those people because Alden and our good friend Jared, the Dark Jedi, did a two-part episode diving into those people. And I don't really think there's a lot to be said about those people that are hasn't already been said by them. And then there are a lot of the people who I think represent a quite large amount of the fan base, which who I call like the neutral approachers, which kind of just take the media as they come. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not. I used to be one of those people. But this might sound really dumb to some people, but it's true. You will enjoy media more if you go in with the third approach, is how we do it, the I guess the loving slash positive approach. You will just like it more.
You have to, I mean, and with that too, I think a lot of people will take that and be confused by it and conflate that with like you liking everything or shilling or just like, and it has nothing to do with that. It's just wanting. I think wanting to love is a different, probably a sharper, a more direct way of wording it. Like you were love and positive, yes, but like it's a desire. It's a meeting it in the middle. It's a wanting to know what it has in store, wanting to know what they're trying to do with it, which are very different things than just liking everything that they give you. Because everybody has their things, even in their favorite stories, they have their things that they are not their favorites, and that's fine. Or that they even just don't like, and that's fine too. But yeah, I mean, approaching it as that middle ground is very much so like the, it's a product. Like, oh, it's another piece of Disney content. It's another thing. It's another thing. And we'll just sort of take it in. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But it's just a, well, then of course, you know, you'll perpetuate narratives. I think that that's sort of that lack of engagement perpetuates narratives, you know, dumb things you hear like, Book of Boba Fett wasn't even about Boba Fett. And I watched it, but someone told me that. And it's like, you know, are they a hater?
You shouldn't have to watch Book of Boba Fett to catch up on Mandalorian season 3.
Are they a hater? Are they a Phantom Menacer? No, they're not at all. But they're not engaging and they're just sort of breezing through, regurgitating, and that becomes part of the problem in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to point out, because Alden mentioned the term shill before, I actually like, I think the whole like idea of that term is really funny to me, because I love that some people think that there's something inherently wrong with liking something. It's fascinating to me, and I understand where it comes from, but if you put it like that, which is down to its very essence is what it is being mad that somebody likes something, it sounds a lot weirder and more like unnecessary than it might otherwise.
Yeah.
Like I think about I don't know what it's from, but it's the picture that's been floating around the internet a lot lately. That Elizabeth Olsen, it's cool to talk about the things you hate. Yeah. It's not.
You should keep quiet about what you dislike and talk about things you do. Yeah. Which is true. And it's like, that doesn't mean like everything. And you could say, if something doesn't land for you, be like, you know what? I didn't like that. Or it didn't connect with me. I didn't care for it. It wasn't for me. It wasn't my favorite. Any version of that you want to do, great. But it's just a difficult curation effort that has to be done. I get accused of that, of like, oh, you love everything. And it's like, I really, really, really don't. It's just I'm taking the time out of my day to type about is what I like. And that's good for our mental health. Like, again, it's a mental health thing too. And it's like, it's a big enough problem that people don't want to be in these communities because of how explosive and gross and vitriolic that it can be. And so at that point, it's like, you know, this opening section is how do we settle to watch Star Wars? You talked about getting up in the morning and what do they have for me? What is the story they want to tell? I think that if you love this and you're listening to a Star Wars podcast, which I'm assuming means you love it, then you have to treat it sort of like a romantic relationship. I've made that analogy before. You're going to have days where you're like, I don't know, I don't feel like Star Wars today, or Star Wars and I aren't getting along today. But when you go to bed, you still love Star Wars. Still love it. Engage with something. Like, you could watch an episode of Mandalorian and you could be like, oh, that was my least favorite. I really didn't like that. But then later in the day, if you're thinking about a scene, if you're thinking about one costume or one creature that made you go, that was pretty cool, then take that. Take that and look forward to seeing it again. I know people that hate a movie that we love, Rise of Skywalker. It's a very polarizing film. Like, every other person likes it, every other person doesn't like it. But people were so excited to see a Trona Tome in Jedi Survivor. Like, that was an element that stuck with them.
Even a bigger example, not just the Trona Tome or the Anzellan and the Anzellans in Mandalorian or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people are so excited. Daisy Ridley and Charmian Obaid-Chinoy got a standing ovation at Celebration London, yes, which I know you were at and I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I saw the footage. They got a standing ovation because they're bringing back those characters. People wanted to see them so badly. Yeah. But that was the news that, like, I think a lot of people, and I don't want to speak to them, of course, but, like, a lot of people, I feel like that was the news that they were most hyped about from Celebration. And this Celebration had a lot of news.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you, man, as somebody who was there, that Daisy return, they teed it up. You know, Charmaine was like, would you like to meet the Jedi Master? Do you want to meet the Jedi Master? She asked, like, twice. When Rey's theme kicked in, she walked on sort of at the same time that the music kicked in, but the music was, like, a second early. Whoo! The place lost it because love wins. Like, love always overpowers the BS. People aren't there booing. People aren't there talking about they don't like Rey. And guess what? If you're listening to this and you don't like her and you have a legitimate reason, that's fine. You know, we can suss out the difference between misogyny, hatred, bigotry, and a character not working for you. There are characters that don't work for me. I don't like General Grievous all that much. I'm open about that. Eli and DeVore and several other people.
When I was planning this episode, I was legitimately thinking, I'm like, I want to do a part where I'm like, you know, we don't, like, agree on everything. And the thing I was thinking of on your side was General Grievous, legitimately. And I was going to make a KOTOR 2 joke because I am infamous in our group of friends for disliking KOTOR 2. But again, it does not matter. The bottom line is, it does not matter what you like and what you don't. This is about how we talk about this stuff and how we think about this stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think leads us about what I call personal desire versus storytelling desire. Because what you want from a piece of Star Wars media or whatever it is almost certainly not what you're going to get. And there's an obvious elephant in the room with this conversation, which I feel like really started this conversation in a lot of ways. And that was The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And a film that we are both on the record saying we both love. But even if you don't, you know, that movie, like it for it or hate it for it, did what it wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It did what it wanted to do, and it said, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what Brian said. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you're happy with it, come along. If you're not happy about it, I'm sorry. But
and it didn't do it with. And that's the thing, is that the creators don't have malice. Fans have malice. And so it's when you look at something like that, the only people, and that, this is the thing too, is that it's about respect for artists. Like, it was his opportunity. It was his screenplay and his feature film. Like, he's the one that and Lucasfilm, as the, you know, owners, they get to decide what they're going to do. And it doesn't mean that as a fan you need to feel like your ideas or your feelings are invalid because they weren't followed. You know, your fan fiction, your fan art, your fan RPGs, all these things, your fan Twitter accounts, all these things can be great and interesting and funny and cool and all that stuff, and it can be celebrated.
And we have evidence, like a lot of evidence, that they look at this stuff, they engage with this stuff, even if they don't end up following it. Like the people at Lucasfilm, like the whole Lucasfilm doesn't care about the fans argument is maybe one of the worst arguments I've ever seen, because I think Lucasfilm cares about the fans more than most, like,
more than media franchises and media companies. Absolutely. I mean, like, I can attest, like, I was one of a few people, like, a great few, by the way, a great squad of people. StarWars.com has some of them, like, people that were invited backstage at Celebration for no other reason than, let's just celebrate this, let's have fun. Like, hey, we know you love this, come love it. I've gotten, these sound like brags, and I promise you, I'm not trying to brag, but like, I got a package during COVID from Lucasfilm that unprompted, someone just emailed me and asked me for my address from Lucas, unprompted, no reason. It wasn't my birthday or holiday or anything. That was just a, hey, we're cleaning out the office a little bit, you know, with work from home. We're taking advantage of that and organizing. So we wanted to send you some stuff, you know, curated to your tastes. And it was a huge focus on Rebels. There was a Sabine action figure in there. Like, they didn't have to do that. Like, and so it's like, that had nothing to do with anything.
And beyond, like, the way they treat, the way specifically they've done stuff at the last few conventions really shows that.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. Screening Obi-Wan early, screening The Mandalorian early.
Yes. And inviting panels up like Chase and Rebecca, like Goose, like, you know, in terms of, you know, the representation side of things, of course, with queer and Latinx voices and Black voices. And then on the fan side, having fun things like, you know, like bringing everybody up to talk about Valence with Ethan Sachs, and like just everything that they do.
And like I'm thinking about like the One Way Out rampage
the March of the Narcana by Prisoners. Yeah. And so like with that, it's like, why can't we have that love all the time? And so, you know, to loop it back in, you go to Last Jedi, a film where everybody went in with preconceived notions built up over 2 years, and then they did it again for Episode 9. And Rise, it's like, that's fine, that's normal. But with all art, you should remember A, the joy that we just talked about with a lot of those examples, and B, very importantly, B, it is not about what you want. It is never about what you want. We all saw Star Wars as kids. That was OTPT, now ST, any of the animated series. And we all had moments where we're like, I bet this is going to happen. I want this to happen. I want this. And it doesn't happen. But children don't get bitter when the things that they, adults do that. We lose the ability to be flexible. And I think that if you hold on to that the best you can, and judge it for what it's trying to be, you'll be happier. Like an example I always use is like, you know, I grew up not liking Twilight, right? I didn't like it. I still don't really like it. But I don't dislike it because it's a vampire romance. I love a vampire romance. I just didn't like the way they did it. Or you know, let's pick a recent movie. John Wick just came out, right? We had a John Wick movie. You don't watch that and be like, not enough musical numbers. It's like, well, guess what? Oh, yeah. They didn't make a musical. Like, so
that goes into another point down here, like of engaging with a story on its own terms.
Exactly. And I think those are married points, you know, like the desire, the wants, the perspectives, their terms versus yours. Like there are things in both 8 and 9 of the sequel trilogy that I never would have predicted. And things that if you had asked me beforehand, would you like this? I'd be like, no, that doesn't sound like a good choice. Like someone had come up to me before TLJ and said, you know, Luke never leaves the island in that movie, I'd be like, what? Like, I would be stunned by that.
I will say this right now. I unknowingly read a leak of The Rise of Skywalker a few months before it came out. And because I'm not huge into leak culture, I assumed that most of it was bullshit. It wasn't. It was actually 90 to 95% accurate about what the film was. It conflated a few things, and I read that specific one. I don't know why this was on Reddit or something. I forget why. But I remember I'm like, this sounds awful. This sounds like an awful end to the Skywalker saga.
I did hear some. I was like, there's a giant snake, and then there's Force Lightning. And then like I heard a few things with no context. And I was like, Force Ghost Luke shows up. The biggest one I heard was directly, Force Ghost Luke shows up and catches the lightsaber. And I was like, what is happening in this movie? And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, I get it. I see what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is, guess what? You can see what they're doing and still not like it. That's fine.
Yeah. No, and I was going to say, like, the big thing for me was that was the big reveal that, oh, the Kylo Ren line, which is oft criticized, which I'm not going to get into here, of like, yeah. Oh, I never lied to you about your parents, but your grandfather is Palpatine. I saw that on that leak, and I'm like, wow, that is terrible. And then I watched the film in December a few months later and ate it up. I loved it. I loved how it was done. And so I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, like, the point we've been trying to make all along is that things going the way you don't want them to go isn't necessarily inherently a bad thing.
No.
And there's actually, frankly, and I will say this, and this is a recent development of mine. Actually, I feel like the Bad Batch has been a lot of where I've had these feelings of, like, learning to get past what I want and go to what the story was telling me. Because I 100% thought, remember at the end of, like, of that episode of the Bad Batch with Trace and Rafa, where they're talking to that hologram and we don't see fully who it is. We find out later it was Rex.
Yep.
I thought it was Bail Organa 100%. I 100% thought it was Bail Organa. I thought that's how Bail Organa is going to get into the Bad Batch, and they're going to connect up with Bail. And that didn't happen. It took me a second to be like, oh, so Bail Organa does not have anything to do with this season. Now, funnily enough, he actually ended up showing up in the next season. But still, that was like, it's a very silly minor detail, but that was an adjustment for me. But the one I like to think of, and the one I was really impressed with, honestly, is that I had, going into the season 2 finale of The Bad Batch, I had a full plot in my mind of how I expected it to go. And halfway into the episode, where it was going around how I expected it to go, they went in a completely different direction. They absolutely did a complete U-turn. It was a lot more tragic than I thought it was going to be. And I will say that I, again, not to brag or anything, but I just sat there and I was impressed because for me, absolutely, I did not expect anything they did, but they were earning, in my mind, every twist that they gave me. Yeah. The death of Tech, the capture of the betrayal of Sid, the capture of Omega, the reveal with Emery. They earned every single misdirect that they throwed my way. And when I could have just been angry that they didn't end up getting to Wayland at all. Like, remember the whole season when we're like, all roads lead to Wayland? Like, that was something that good friend of the show, and I'm not criticizing him for this. I'm absolutely not. But I remember in a lot of his reviews, Alex Damon, Star Wars Explained, was saying, all roads lead to Wayland. And I was with him on that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going
to
all
climax. We were too. I mean, like, I remember talking to Nikki and Sean Room and a bunch of other people that we know that we're friends with from ISP and Bogas and a bunch of other places that, oh, the last episode's called Plan 99. Plan 99 must be the whole group reunites at one location, or like the whole, whatever Plan 99 is, has to be the assault on Hemlock's lab or something like that. And guess what? It wasn't. Plan 99 was sad.
Plan 99 was Tech dying.
Plan 99 was a man down. Like, it was the opposite of an inspiring ending.
Yeah. And I'm going to be referencing these people a lot, and I know you have a lot of inspiration from them, Alden. But, like, you know, like the people on, and I credit them a lot for these sort of philosophies and these sort of ideas. Ken Napsok, Joseph Scrimshaw, and Jennifer Landa at Force Center. The idea of speculating responsibly. That I still speculate about things. I still think of, like, oh, how could they fit X or Y into Ahsoka? Or how are they going to fit? Or here's another good example. How's the Mandalorian season 4 going to go now that seemingly the first arc of the show has been wrapped up at the end of season 3? But it's when you let those control how much you like them, when you let those expectations control the reality, that you might get into some trouble. And I actually really want to go and rewatch, specifically for me, the last episode of the Book of Boba Fett, because I feel like I let my expectations quite a bit control when I watched that episode a little bit too much. And I do want to go back and watch that, because I was really loving that show. And I remember watching the final episode, I'm like, no, that was good, but I expected more. And I'm looking back, I'm like, why exactly did I expect more? What was the reason I was expecting more?
Mm-hmm. And is it because you built it up in your mind, or because of the story?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is like, yeah. At what point are we responsible for? Because we did that too. Tori Fox and I, we covered it on Mandalorian Creed as that show came out, and we did Kira watch every week because we were convinced that Kira had something to do with it, because you can kind of hear the Crimson Dawn music. And the theme song, can you hear the Crimson Dawn music in the theme song, or was that in my head? You know, it's like, I don't know.
If you could, is that just a coincidence,
or is it a reference? You know, is it a reference to crime?
Is it a reference to crime? Kira Watch is a good example. I remember a lot of people there were a lot of rumors around the time that we were going to get Han Solo in the last episode of the Book of Boba Fett.
There was a, I don't know if you ever read this. Sounds
strange.
I don't know if you ever read this report.
Sounds so weird.
There was a report that had some true things. So that's why it got scary, because it got enough right that I was like, oh God. It correctly predicted that there was a young woman named Drash in the show. It correctly called out the Rancor thing, which had been around. The N1 Starfighter had been around, but it was in there as well. And Cad Bane, facing off against Cad Bane in the finale, was in there. But it also said that live action Rex and live action Echo were both in it, and that Han Solo was coming. And I was like, oh,
I did not know about Rex and Echo. Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, I remember reading that and by accident too. I think I got on Instagram or something, one of those text posts. I was like, oh God, I can't tell anyone. I was like, Temuera Morrison's going to play three characters. And then it didn't happen.
I was convinced pretty early on with Mando season 2 that the role that Temuera Morrison was going to be playing was not Boba and it was Rex. I was convinced, that's what I was hearing a lot, is about he's going to come in the show and he's going to be in it. And Ahsoka's obviously going to be in the show. So yeah. But this is all a long way of saying that people get things wrong. And this is not just in leaks. People get things wrong when we're speculating about things. People get things wrong all of the time. And that is not a fault of the storytellers. That's our fault.
Yeah.
And we've all done it. I'm not saying that only people who are strong or better or wiser can't do it, because we all do it. But it's about living in that balance. It's about living in that idea that whatever you want to happen has no bearing on whether it actually does. And that doesn't have any bearing on whether what you're watching is good or not.
Yeah.
Here's just another example. One of the things I remember going into Andor really wanting, I thought that what would be really cool is to trace the earliest rebel movements, the hidden path to the rebel movement that I knew was building up in Andor. And what was a good way to do that in my mind? Roken. I wanted Roken in Andor.
Oh, that's interesting. I wanted Roken in Survivor. And even though I haven't played Survivor, I'm going to guess he's not in it.
He is not. No, he is not.
Just because, Survivor. Thank you for breaking that news to me, because I've done a really good job of staying mostly unspoiled on Survivor. At the time of this recording, I only know a couple spoilers. I don't know how it ends still. I have no idea how it ends. I figure O'Shea Jackson Jr. would have told the world by now if he was in that game.
Yeah. No, I actually also wish Roken had been in Survivor as well. But no, Survivor actually, I think Survivor might be I don't know, it's too early for me to say this right now. I think it might be my favorite story so far this year, honestly.
Love that.
I think it might be my favorite Star Wars story so far this year. Maybe the two-parter in the middle of season 2 of The Bad Batch, but Survivor's definitely up there. No, that game did what it wanted to do, let me tell you. That game very much like a lot of the Star Wars stuff that's been coming out. Last Jedi, I think Mando Season 3 fits the bill in that way. Like said, okay, throw all your expectations out the window because we're taking this where we want to. And I think it did well for the most part on where it wanted to go. Let's see. What next? I guess we should get to this, to an elephant in the room for me when it comes to Star Wars discourse. And I think also for Alden too, but I know this discourse really affected me when it came out. And I think a lot of our friends, it affected them greatly, which is, I want to go to Andor. Now, I will say this. Disclaimer going in. I'm not the biggest fan of Andor as a show. That does not mean I hate it.
How
I
like dare it you? I'm leaving. Goodbye. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I don't hate it by any stretch of the imagination. I don't love it. But I think it does a lot great, and it does a lot of things that, it's not that they don't work for me. It's that they're not the things I personally like to see in Star Wars, and that's fine. Not everything in Star Wars needs to be tailored to me, just like not everything in Star Wars needs to be tailored to any singular person other than the people creating it. My problem is not with how people were talking about Andor. My problem was that Andor was being used as a tool, not for enjoying it for its own sake, but for beating up some of the other Star Wars series that had been released and that people didn't like, which I think is both unfair to Andor and to those shows, the Book of Boba Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, even sometimes The Mandalorian. I think that, like, there are a lot of people who decided for whatever reason that they wanted to say that Andor is objectively better than anything that Disney had done with Star Wars. And I hate to break it to those people. I really do. But there is no such thing as objectively better. That thing is all of that is up to your opinion. There is no barometer that you can make that is truly impartial.
Yeah, and that's why. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and that's why my barometer, that's why my disclaimer at first that I'm not a huge fan of Andor does not matter in this case, because even if I was, my opinion should not govern the opinion of other people. It just shouldn't. Like, no one should.
Yeah. Like, it's just a situation of why do we end up in this place? And I don't have the answers to this, but I know this is what it is. Why and how do we end up in a place where your opinion has to be right? It can't just be the opinion. It speaks to a deep insecurity, I think, inside of certain people, that their opinion, they can't just say proudly from the rooftops. I would love it if they did. If they were like, I love Andor so much. It's made me fall back in love with Star Wars. This is amazing. I can't wait to talk about it with people. They can go on about it all day. But it's the second that they're like, it's the best, period. I'm right. It's better than that. That's the situation we end up in, where it's like, okay, but there's so many layers to that. What about tone? What about genre? That's a prestige, drama, espionage, thriller, slow burn. It is not pulp fantasy. Does that mean that it's inherently better than pulp fantasy? No, it doesn't. And you're immediately discounting entire genres, and you end up with these criticisms of things like The Mandalorian, where it's like, that's just playing with action figures. It's not real storytelling. And it's like, first of all, I resent that, because imaginative play is super important for the development of kids, number one. And number two, the fact that it can't be an all ages story. But that's like saying that, like, Avatar The Last Airbender isn't as good as Game of Thrones because kids watch Avatar The Last Airbender. It's like, yeah, they're supposed to. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they're not watching Game of Thrones.
And also, and I'm not saying that specifically these people matter in the same way, because I've heard a lot of people, like, when I'm trying to say this about these people, and it's easy because they're the main people behind these stories and they're the leadership behind these stories, say, like, oh, they're billionaires, they don't care, blah blah blah, whatever. But how do you think the people feel who are making these stories, not just the people up top who let's say the Mandalorian, like Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni, Rick Famuyiwa, who, what have you? But what about the people who are like who are the lower level people who are doing camera work, or who are, you know, who are playing in the orchestra for the score? Hundreds and thousands of people make these things, and they make them because they work in the industry. And of course, we're recording this early on in the Writers Guild strike, and I certainly hope that all of these people, no matter what position they have, get better treatment and pay in the industry. But they do it because, to a certain extent, I hope they're passionate about the industry, and they didn't make it for some people for it to just come out and some people say, yeah, well, Andor was better.
Yeah, like, it's just, and you can think that. But, and then, you know, the push pull during that whole saga of Andor discourse was, you know, people doing this and engaging in this type of reductive thought would be like, well, we're just comparing things. And it's like, but you're not even doing that. You're not actually doing what you said you're doing. You're not engaging in compare and contrast. I'm sorry, you're not. You know, saying Andor dunks on this, and why isn't other stuff like this, and it's embarrassing, and I'm not going back to watching other stuff, which are all things that were said. These are not exaggerations. These are all verifiable things. Not once did anybody say, you know what I like about Andor that didn't quite work for me in this show? It's this. And when you look at this and this and this, there was none of that. That's fine. That's interesting. That at least we could talk about. We could at least talk about that.
Yeah.
You end up with my opinion is full and right, and it's because we attach opinions to identities, and we attach subsets of fandoms to identities. And if you feel like having your number one Star Wars be the number one Star Wars is the only way you can validate yourself, that's a real life problem and a Star Wars problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, and that's the other thing is that I want to emphasize is that, to me at least, stories are multidimensional. Like, on the whole, do I like some pieces of Star Wars media better than other Star Wars media? Yeah, I do. But it's not like if I like movie X better than movie Y, I like every single thing that movie X does better than every single thing movie Y does. That's not how that works. I'm trying to think of a good example. I mean, I think, and this is just a technology thing, because of how much better they've gotten at animation at Lucasfilm, do I like the animation of The Bad Batch more than I like the animation of the early Clone Wars stuff and the early Rebel stuff? Yeah, I do. But do I think The Bad Batch is a better show, or do I like The Bad Batch more than the early Clone Wars and Rebels? Not necessarily.
Yeah, so the thing too is that the nuanced opinion about performances or about animation or about score or about all types of things. Like, I can say firmly that I think Andor is better filmically made. Like, I think that it has better sets for me. I think that the cinematography for me is a little bit stronger than, say, Mandalorian or Kenobi. But I do not like it more than I like Kenobi, for me personally. Kenobi is my number one favorite show, besides Rebels, and Touch Talking Live Action. So it's like, we can find the things here and engage with these different elements, and that encourages conversation. And that's another way that you and I stay positive about it, is that we're finding these contrasts, but in that you're finding things to celebrate. Like, do I think that the prequels or the sequel trilogy for me are quote unquote as strong as the original trilogy? I'm not sure. I still think, if you ask me, gun to my head, which trilogy is your favorite, I would probably still say originals, although the sequels get closer every day, I will say. But with that said, the sequel trilogy is the best goddamn acted Star Wars there's ever been.
Oh, ever. Yeah.
Like the performance, if you're an act, if you're a fan of acting, then you can find that. If you're a fan of designs and creatures and tech and innovations, the prequels are probably going to speak to you a lot too. And that's a big key point with everything we've said is if you feel like you're a certain type of fan and that certain things speak to you, chase that, find that. If you're somebody that loves the prequels, you should be watching Light and Magic. You should be going down the rabbit hole of like what George did and what them did. And if you're somebody that likes the sequels, you should be watching things like Director and the Jedi and telling people to watch Star Wars Resistance and going to find and reading Aftermath and doing like find your thing and lean into it. That's why, again, I referenced them earlier, but like Liv and Hayden and all these people on Twitter that love the Bounty Hunters comic, they have their own little fandom inside of the fandom.
The Bounty Hunters fandom, the High Republic fandom.
It's the best example,
who the High Republic fandom, and I just want to give credit to all these people. It's a book series. I've never seen this much enthusiasm in the Star Wars fan base for a book series in my life. And am I dreadfully behind on the High Republic? Yes, I am. But I'll say this, I loved what I've read. But more than that, I love what there is that little clip of all those people gathering around. I know Christina Ariel was there. I know Daniel Jose Oler was there. I know a bunch of the authors and people involved in the High Republic there. And you know that big like panning shot at the closing ceremony and everybody goes, "We are all the Republic." I mean, that's awesome.
It's amazing.
That's great.
And that comes from people, again, leaning into what speaks to them and not leaning into what doesn't. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Rogue One, neither are you. It's not dislike. If it's on, I'll watch it. But like, but I'm not going to spend my days being like, you know how Rogue One could have been better? Like, who is that helping? And also, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah. Also, you know the main reason that I don't particularly like Rogue One? It's not really anything it did. It's that it's not my kind of Star Wars, personally. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that people can remember, too, is that not all Star Wars has to mark the same area. Because that's not how it works. And Star Wars can be different, and Star Wars, I think, should be different and should keep reaching for new interesting ways. And, you know, we have, like, even in the next year, I'm thinking, we have so many different interesting visions on Star Wars. We have the continuation of Andor, which is how Tony Gilroy and Bo Willimon and Toby Haynes and all those people who are working on that see that part of the universe. Then we have The Acolyte with people like Leslie Headland and her crew. Yes. And, you know, we have the continuation of the Mandoverse or the Mandalorian story. I slipped in it. I said it and then I had like an instant reaction. I'm like, whoops.
But that's good though. That's good because that means that I've honed my brand so strongly that you can say things like Tapestry that are pro Alden words, and then there are things like Commandoverse that are anti Alden words.
we're changing that, Nisi. I don't know if you saw, we're changing that.
Changing Mandoverse?
We're changing the category name.
What's it going to be called now?
It's called the Grogu Saga.
Oh, hell yeah. That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I spent like a long time figuring out like, oh, what am I? I'm like, you know, screw it. All this happened when Din found Grogu. It's called the Grogu Saga now. I'm going to call it the Grogu Saga now. But my point was like, we're getting an expansion of the Grogu Saga of Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and Rick Famuyiwa and Bryce Dallas Howard's visions. And we're adding new people to that. The Daniels, now we know, recently with season 3, people like Lee Isaac Chung and Rachel Morrison, and with Ahsoka, people like Ida Patel and Jennifer Getzinger. Like, we're adding so many people's visions to the Star Wars universe. And if only there was like an animated series of shorts or something about the different visions people bring to Star Wars.
Nah, they would never do that because they came out recently.
Yeah, that came out like recently, like as of this recording, like a few days ago. Anyway, if y'all have not seen Vision Season 2, that actually is, I think, one of the best examples of like the the so many different types of Star Wars is the idea is Visions, because there are different cultures, there are different people from different backgrounds making the type of Star Wars they see, and you are not going to connect to all of it, and you're not supposed to. You are going to connect to the ones you are going to connect with, and that is why and how they're made. Moving on to like another point, and this is like a very, this is an extrapolation of a lot of things we've been talking about. I have this term that I made up called media object permanence.
I like that.
Media object permanence in my mind is on people's ability to separate pieces of Star Wars media from each other. And the word that comes back to when we're talking about this is ruined, is that word, ruined. The Last Jedi ruined The Force Awakens, for an example. The Phantom Menace ruined the original trilogy. No, the original trilogy didn't change. Like obviously it changes in context and all that kind of stuff, and that's interesting, and you can dissect that and stuff. But the literal material of the films didn't change when The Phantom Menace came out. Like, other than the special editions, which I understand makes this conversation a bit more complicated, those films don't just suddenly change because new stuff is out. If you want to see them in an interpretation that conflicts with, that clashes with it because of a film that, or whatever that's been released since then, nothing's stopping you. Like, if you, for example, I'm trying to think of a good example of this. Like, actually, here's one. If you in your mind want to still think that the Children of the Watch is, like, this incredibly, like, and maybe people have different opinions about this than me, because I feel like I don't want to say I've come around on the Children of the Watch, but I think I've realized that the story they were trying to tell with the Children of the Watch wasn't exactly the one I thought they were trying to tell. But like, if you want to still believe that the Children of the Watch are as fanatical as and as crazy and as obsessed as Bo-Katan told you they were in the Eris, there's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the other stories don't exist, because they do, but you can choose not to.
Well, you sort of like, you can synthesize, right? With this, it's like, you bring up the Children of the Watch example. Like, I am on the record predicting things that did not happen. Like, but right. At that point, it's like, I have to synthesize my ideas of what they are and what the implications are with the story that they were choosing to tell, which was one of cultural unity and one of, you know, stopping horizontal oppression and a common enemy and rallying for a common cause. And so all of that plays into this as well, where it's like, you need to assess, like, okay, what did they choose to do? What did I think? Why did I think it? And can the why did I think it and what they did mesh? Where do they meet? Where do they not? And in that is a fun analysis. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. It doesn't, your reaction, I think, in a healthy way, in an unhealthy way rather, would be like, oh, they didn't do this and it's a missed opportunity. And it's like, well, why is that a missed opportunity? Or is there something now that we can sit on, that we can think about, you know? And what you've been saying about this idea that it changes, like, it doesn't get rid of Mando seasons 1 and 2, just like Phantom Menace didn't get rid of the OT, just like canon books did not get rid of Legends books. They mean that they don't directly interface with movies right now. That's true. It changed the way that they affect things, but they are still in print and they still exist and they still have fans and they still make new fans and they still connect with people and touch their hearts. And all of that is so valuable, because the canonicity of things is what you make it to a very large degree. And you can say to yourself, I liked it better. You know, the hot button one that we've already sort of referenced with Rey. It's like, I liked it better when Rey was completely unconnected to everybody. And it's like, okay, well, then they said that she was. So where is something in the middle there? Yeah, you might not ever be happy about it, but you can look at the character of Rey and consider what I think you and I agree on, and other people that we're friends with, is that Rey also preferred that. Rey became okay with Rey, the scavenger girl. She became okay with that. She Palpatine tries to use that against her, and he can't. She doesn't falter when he calls her that. She doesn't falter because her parents sacrifice themselves, and like she comes to terms with it all stages. She still had 19 years of growing into Rey Nobody from TFA. And that doesn't go away. It's still a part of why she makes these choices. So there's the thought, you know, in story, there's the thought of analytical stuff. And then there's the personal stuff too, which some things, hey, they're never going to sit well with you for your personal experiences. And I get that. And no one can ever take that away from you, especially marginalized voices. You know, there are people that are like, yeah, you know, I want to like Last Jedi, but you know, it's a fan, you know, who's a person of color, and they can't get over the fact that Finn's role was reduced from 7 to 8. And that's so valid, and that should be listened to and respected. But then with fandom, there also comes that element, which is like, are we having a real life conversation, or are we having a fan conversation?
Yeah.
And we need to be okay asking that and figure out where each other is coming from. That way, because that person is having a real point, right? And it'd be really easy for a Last Jedi lover to jump in and be like, his role is still important, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, you're not listening to what they're saying.
Yeah, and that actually brings us nicely to two other points that are in here, which is the first one we can get through, I think, decently quickly, because I know you and I have both talked about this at length on both of our shows, and it's the idea about canon, which, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion, does not matter as much as people think it does.
Nope.
And I say this as somebody who runs a show about literally asking people all of the details about canon. I understand my role in this, but and something like the best example I have in my mind about the discussion for canon for me is the series premiere of The Bad Batch. Oh, do I remember the conversations, the series premiere of The Bad Batch, with that first 10-minute scene where they decided, you know what would be cool? We're going to put Kanan Jarrus in the opening sequence of The Bad Batch.
Yeah.
But it had already been explained in a comic, and for some people, apparently those two portrayals couldn't possibly fit together, even though they're basically the same story, just added a few characters that weren't there in the comics and shifted a few details about the time of day and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like literally, I've tried to tell people, like, it's just further clarification on which clones were there. It's still Collar, it's still Kanan and Depa, it still goes down pretty much the same. And that's a 12-issue comic book series. Issues 2 through 12, completely unaffected. All they did was change the climate and time of day on Collar and say that it was...
And, like,
bad.
Styles is still there. Isn't that Styles that they talked to in the episode? Isn't
yeah,
it identified
sure
as Styles?
Styles? Yeah, I think so, that's like, so it's all, it's mostly the same. And it's like, I get it. You know, those things are precious to people and they affect them. And to have it changed is an emotional thing. But at the same time, this comes down to the conversation again. We have it with different projects. Like, what is that project trying to be, right? It's also, what is Star Wars trying to be? It's the whole thing. And if Star Wars is trying to be a myth, which it tells you from the second it starts, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, is the Star Wars version of Once Upon a Time. It's a fairy tale. And so every time we open it up, it could be a different telling of something. And it could be a further perspective on something. That's what's fun about the From a Certain Point of View books. Some of them fit very easily in. Some of them don't. And that's by design. Some of them are so goofy that they're a completely different style of story, and that's fine.
And that's what George Mann started to do. I know his first stint into Star Wars publishing was with those Myths and Fables book, which tells you at the very beginning, hey, some of this stuff happened, some of this stuff maybe happened in a similar fashion, and some of this stuff probably didn't happen at all. Like, there's that myth that I love. This is hilarious, and I haven't actually, like, I've heard of this story. I haven't actually read the full transcript of it, but like, I really want to now. In the first Myths and Fables, no, this is not the Myths and Fables. This is the Legends of Luke Skywalker book. This is what it is. It's about the flea. The flea that was on Luke when he was battling at the Great Pit of Carcoon, and who claimed to have saved the day at the Battle of the Great Pit of Carcoon. Did that stuff happen? Almost certainly not. No. But isn't it funny to think of people talking about a sentient flea in the Star Wars universe, talking about how he almost saved Luke Skywalker's life that day in the Great Pit of Carcoon? Yeah, it's hilarious to me. It's just funny. And that almost certainly didn't happen, but that is a story that circulated in universe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be able to have that sort of fallibility. And some characters are even doing it as they go, like Han, creates his own legend, as he goes, and Lando too.
And I was going to say, and there's stuff like this is my favorite example of this. When I watched this, and I know you got to watch this earlier than I did, but I remember specifically when I watched the second episode of Andor for the first time. And Marva said to Cassian, "We told the authorities you were born on Fest." I remember just sitting back and just laughing for a straight minute.
It's so smart. It's such a good way to do it. It brought us into the story. It made readers, we fell for their cover, which is a really, really smart thing to do. And again, you can enjoy that or you can get mad at that. And it's really down to you. It's a choice.
And then there's, I guess, what I'm calling the major extreme caveat to all of this stuff, which Alden already touched on. And I want to say this because I'm probably one of the voices that needs to be talking about this the least, because I'm not one of the people who should be talking about this. But we need to make sure that Phantom Space, above anything else, is inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to lie now. I can't watch The Mandalorian season 1 and 2 the same way now that I know the kind of person that Gina Carano is.
Yeah.
I try to enjoy it as much as I can outside of her. And season 2 is one of my favorite seasons of Star Wars television so far. But it's not ever, to me, going to be the same because of the kind of person and the kind of comments that I know that Gina Carano has made. And that one's like at least to me, in like a sort of easy example.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Where the issue with issues of transphobia, of anti-Semitism, of racism are very clear to see. But then there's some other, like, there's a lot of ones that aren't as clear as stuff like how I know a lot of queer fans wanted very badly Finn and Poe to be in a romantic relationship at the end of the sequels. And we have pretty credible reports that Lucasfilm was not crazy about that idea because they feared the backlash. And that is extremely valid. And that should extremely matter.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the thing, is that you have to find, like, no, you have to find, again, where are people coming from? Why does it matter? And do you respect that? Like, even if it's something you never thought about, you can watch sequels and be like, oh, that was, I mean, I didn't. I also thought they should be together, and a lot of our friends did too. But theoretically, if you showed that to a teenager right now, they might be like, oh, I didn't realize that they were a thing that people shipped. But when people explain to you why it matters, you have to listen to that. And that's part of, this whole episode about discourse, about how we treat each other, is that people don't come at it with empathy. They don't take time to ask, why does this person think that? Why did that hurt that person? Why did it not hurt that person? Why did they notice it or not? How did they present their point? Is this an attack or is this an opportunity to educate? Are we having a conversation here for real? Does this need to be had in public? Like, there's all types of these nuances instead of just trying to own that person in the replies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I think that's another important point is that all of this, especially, I want to make this clear with the real world stuff, with the real world implications. there's no easy answers. If there were easy answers, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously people who look like me and people who come from my background should not, 100% should not be leading the conversation. And I am trying as best as I can to acknowledge that. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody is. But, you know, I that's also why it's important, at least for me, to have a diverse selection of voices that you listen to in the fan base. And there are tons of them. If you look, there are great voices from all different backgrounds talking with love, but also with a critical eye to their backgrounds, to how they were raised, to how they grew up, to this stuff we love. And actually, that's kind of what I want to get into once we have anything else on for the final idea, which is that we are not isolated in these opinions. It's not just the two of us. Far no. from it.
And I think that... I'm just going to say, I think the conversation needs to get bigger. That's the thing, you know. It needs to be something like, good faith is something that we should fight for. It's something that we should be talking about. It's something that we should be letting people know there can be a better conversation that is had.
Oh, absolutely. I'd like to shout out specifically three friends, because there are more than three of them as individuals, but three podcasts YouTube channels that I go to specifically when I'm looking for conversations of those types. And those three are, we've mentioned two of them already. Actually, we've mentioned all three of them in some way or shape or form already. Force Center, Ken Knapsack, Joseph Grimshaw, Jennifer Landa do a great job of having these conversations. Star Wars Explained, Alex and Molly Damon do a great job of having these conversations. And the Imperial Senate podcast, Charlie Ashby, Claire Stribling, and Alden's partner in crime, Nikki Kumar, do a great job of having these conversations. And that's not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination.
Not close. I mean, even just in our friend group, I'll rattle off a few more just off the top of my head. You got Boop and John, Nerd Herder. You've got Bogus Cantina, hosted by Sean Room. You've got, if you head over to Nerd Academy, you know, with Jared, the Dark Loser Jedi. You got Bombad Cast with Jerry and Scotty. You've got, I mean, just looking here, we got A Try to the Force with Goose. We have Pink Milk with Brian and Tom. You've got That Gay Jedi. You've got Talking Bay. You got Force Toast. You got Father Son Galaxy. My God, like the best. Like,
oh, absolutely. They're
it goes on.
That
and on
is
and
the
on.
One unnegotiable thing that needs to be recognized in Star Wars fandom is that there's no getting better than Keith and Kerwin Yard. Just none.
That is correct. That's correct.
No way.
Indisputable.
We tried our best, everybody, but we can't pass them. No matter how hard anyone tries.
It's amazing, and you can find those people. That's the thing. Find your people and stick with them. And if you can't find your people, and you know someone that has, ask them. You know, ask them how they did it. Stick together, because, you know, it's very cheesy to say in a Star Wars conversation, but there are more of us.
It's almost like that film has something to say or something, almost. But I'm not going to get on my high horse and talk about The Rise of Skywalker anymore. Anything that you want to add, Alden, before we wrap up this great conversation that we've had about just general fandom stuff?
I would say that this conversation is ongoing, and I would say that we will have it again down the road, and we'll have it with other friends, and it's something that we need to keep having. But again, so much of this, again, intentions, perspectives, experiences, all these things, consider who you're talking to, why you agree, why you disagree, and look at that as an opportunity to learn, not as an opportunity to feel offense. You know, you're a person who loves Star Wars. You're not a Star Wars person. You know, you're more than that. And that's influencing why you like this the way that you do. And you like it in an individual way. We all do. We all have our way of loving it. And lean into that and remember to get in touch with it every now and then, to shed everything out and just sit back and watch your favorite, or watch one that makes you laugh, or watch one that's really easy to watch. You know, throw on Young Jedi Adventures.
Literally just about to make a Young Jedi Adventure reference. That show, I have watched, I'm not joking, 2 episodes of that 7-episode show. It is encapsulated in my brain like Star Wars hasn't done in a long, long time. And I'm not throwing shade at any other Star Wars project at all. But like, wow, our kids of these are like young kids of these days lucky that they have that for Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Frankly, like, Nubs alone would be one of the greatest Star Wars shows of all time. But even going past Nubs, characters, interesting characters like Tabor, like Kai Brightstar, like, oh no, I'm forgetting. What's the name of that? The name of the Jedi Master in...
Oh, I forget her name, yeah.
Wow. The Young Jedi Adventures Master... No, that's not it. Wow, I'm forgetting. I'm going to have to look that one up. We're putting that in EC sooner or later. So, but those characters are all just so fantastic. And I think that's actually an interesting Star Wars to engage with because I know there isn't going to be discourse about it. Mm-hmm. At least as much. Maybe I'm arrogant on this front, but like, it's a show made for 4 or 5 year olds.
Yeah.
Like, if you're talking about what you wanted from the show for 4 or 5 year olds, you really have better things to do.
I agree.
And so now right after this episode, I'm probably going to end up muting Young Jedi Adventures and Kai Brightstar and Tabor on my Twitter timeline because I feel like I'm just like I'm cursing myself in this effort. But
I'll throw hands at anybody that talks about my kids, all right? Yeah, Kai, no, Nubs, no. And Liss are off the table, all right?
Oh, yeah, and Nash. 100%. And Nash Turango, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional about this, and Nash's 2 mothers? Like, that's fantastic.
I know.
It's like, I'm sad that it took this long, but like...
Yeah. It's a good time, you know, and that's another thing too, is that, you know, that we could be here for another hour talking about the representation stuff. Not that we are the most qualified or should be the ones talking, like you said, but you've made that point and it's an important point to make, but things just because they get better doesn't mean that there isn't still stuff to stick up for. Steps get made, but it can be it's not linear. Progress is not linear and you have to stand firm for real life issues, online issues, whatever it is, and say, this is how I feel. This is what I stand for. Let people know and people will appreciate it. So that's the last thing I have to say, yeah. Really is if you like send a message to somebody, right? That's that you think is doing it right and say, thanks, say, I appreciate it. It goes a long way.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, I agree with everything I'll send with that. And I think it's just really important to, as we said before, lead with love. You know, I go back to the idea that I'm a Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars. That's my natural state. When I'm not there, it means that something is deviating from the norm that I expect for myself. And that doesn't mean that I never dislike what Star Wars is doing. Far from it. But when I'm that much into dislike... It's either because I'm looking at it the wrong way, or it's Knights of the Old Republic 2.
We're out of here. It's over now.
No, I even like things about Knights of the Old Republic 2. I will actually prove this right now, because despite all the hatred I claim to give to Knights of the Old Republic 2, what Star Wars character did I make sure to get a picture with at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim when I was there? Like, again... I got pictures with quite a few characters, but of course there were so many people cosplaying at Star Wars Celebration. But what character did I make sure to get a picture with? Not one, but 2 different cosplays of. Darth Nihilus.
It's because you know he's great.
He's actually
my least favorite of those 3 Sith, but still.
Okay, all right. That's another conversation for another day, but I think if that's it,
a good thanks question. Thanks, Alden, for another time.
Thanks so much, Alden, for doing this stuff with me. I've been wanting to have this conversation for quite a while. I think ever since we wound down 2022 that I really noticed the escalation of this stuff. But yeah, thanks for coming on and doing this.
Yeah, of course.
You wanna Do you want to get to tell people where they can find you and your stuff?
Yeah, you can find me personally at That Alden Diaz, thatalden diaz, talking Star Wars on Octo Radio, Star Wars podcast, and its different sub shows therein with different collaborators. And then you can find me on Casually Talk with Ken Napsok, talking about our favorite fantasy worlds, like the World of Ice and Fire, the Tolkien, Willow, and writing around the internet and doing different things.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me at OGFan327 on Twitter, at In a Galaxy Pod on Instagram, at Star Wars in a Galaxy on In a Galaxy Pod on Twitter, at Star Wars in a Galaxy Pod on at Star Wars in a Galaxy on Instagram. You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we'll be there. If we're not, you can email us swinagalaxy@gmail.com. Important announcement, we are going to be taking next week off of In a Galaxy while Jacob and I deal with some personal stuff with life. But we will be back next week, where we are going to be doing what we're calling season 12 and a half of Star Wars in a Galaxy, which is our brief review of all six shorts from the wonderful, now we know, season one of Tales of the Jedi. I think we're going to have a guest on for the Dooku shorts, but we're not exactly sure who. But I can tell you that for the Ahsoka shorts, we are going to have the wonderful Andy from Force Friends Rewatch podcast talking with us about those three Ahsoka shorts. And also, of course, you can follow our spinoff show, Epic Confrontations, the Star Wars Trivia League, at In a Galaxy Trivia on Twitter. You can watch all the stuff on the Star Wars and Galaxy YouTube channel. Alden, as well as many other people, is a competitor. He's coming back to Epic Confrontations in June to play our very first number one contender match against former First Class League champion Brennan Mystical Mar, which is, I think, is the first time I've said that on air. I announced it on Twitter last week, but that match is going to be crazy. And of course, the match we're doing for May, which we're still in the process of planning, Chris Ryans versus Jerry Cable of the Bombad Cast. We're very excited about all that. And I think if there isn't anything else, all I have to say is may the Force be with you always.